A few scriptures to share with you tonight. First one's in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and I'll read verse 11. John 10 and verse 11, and this is the Lord Jesus speaking, and he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And further up the page a wee bit, verse 7, Jesus therefore said again to them, "Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enter in by me, he shall be saved, and shall go in, and shall go out, and find pasture." Now, another reference to the shepherd and so on, in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, maybe from verse 3. "And he spoke to them," that was the people who were listening, "this parable, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep and having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And having found it, he lays it on his own shoulders, rejoicing. And being come to the house, calls together the friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. I say unto you, thus there shall be joy in heaven for one repenting sinner more than for 99 righteous who have no need of repentance." Now, to go back, Luke chapter 24, verse 25. "And he," that is Jesus, "said to them, O senseless and slow of heart to receive, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And having begun from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And as they drew near to the village where they were going, and he made as though he would go further. And they constrained him, saying, Stay with us, for it's towards evening and the day is declining. And he entered in to stay with them. And it came to pass as he was at table with them, having taken the bread, he blessed it, and having broken it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. And they recognized him, and he disappeared from them. And they said to one another, Was not our heart burning within us as he spoke to us in the way and as he opened up the scriptures to us? And rising up the same hour, they returned to Jerusalem," and so on. And then just finally, I want a reference, please, in Peter's epistle. The first epistle to Peter, chapter 5, 1 Peter 5, verse 1. "The elders that are among you I exhort, who am their fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of the Christ, who also am partaker of the glory about to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, exercising oversight necessity, not willingly, but not nor for base gain, but really not as lording it over you in possession, but being models of the flock. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." You'll see, you want to just share a little drop tonight as to the good shepherd. It's a nice thing to think about the Lord Jesus as a shepherd, you know. Don't know if many of you have been out in the country very much, and no doubt you have. Boys will have seen flocks of sheep and persons caring for them, you know. But the Lord Jesus is a much greater shepherd. He's the good shepherd, you know. And he just uses that as an illustration that as a shepherd, he cares about every single one of us. We're the sheep, if you like. But what a wonderful thing it is to get an appreciation of the shepherd. And it says in that verse that we wrote, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." That was the first verse we read. "I am the good shepherd," he says, "laid down his life for the sheep." Persons are very reluctant to lose their lives, but you think of the Lord Jesus. He knew from the moment virtually he came into manhood here, knew what lay ahead of him, and all the way these people that he met on the pathway along, going right on to the cross, knew in the days before the cross was happening, felt deeply in his heart, because he was going to take your sins and my sins upon himself. He's going to be the sin bearer, you know, be a sin offering. And that's what happened. You know, he went and eventually the religious and might say political elements that was in Jerusalem at the time eventually seized him, and they took him to the cross and crucified him. terrible thing to think about. One of the most awful deaths that you could think about. Somebody with their arms nailed out, stretched out and nailed to wood, and their feet as well, and they're just to try and keep breathing. It's commented, I think, that some people in Roman days struggled to survive for a day and more, trying to get breath with no food and no water. Yet the Lord knew all that lay ahead of him, and he went down that pathway, you know. And it has, this is the King of the Jews, was written above his head, you know. And what a wonderful thing it would have been to look at that shepherd, look at the Lord Jesus there, you know. He knew exactly what lay ahead, and one person said, you know, who are you, you know, this is, but then he eventually said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom, you know. Wonderful thing to know that the Lord was coming again. So, in that bit I read in John's Gospel, John's a wonderful writer, you know. It's often been said it was one of the last epistles, I think it was written. And he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Lays it down, you know, did it deliberately, willingly, knowing that he alone could undertake that work. And he did it and completed it. But he says, I am the door of the sheep. Whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. I am the door. If anyone enter in by me, he shall be saved and shall go in and shall go out and find pasture. A wonderful thing to trust the Lord Jesus, you know. Go in, you'll be received in open arms, welcome, but you'll be able to go out. You're able to go through your life here, however long you're in life here, and you go in and out and you'll find pasture, he says. Every day that you want something, you can get it from the Lord Jesus. You know, wonderful thing that. So, but another little thought to share, want to share, was in Luke chapter 15. I'm sure everybody here knows about Luke 15. You know, about the lost sheep and the lost treasure in the house and the lost man, the man that went away into the far country. But the bit I was wanting to share was something about the lost sheep. You know, here's a man who had 100 sheep, he says. 100 sheep, and there was one of them lost. 1%? Is that worth worrying about? No. In this world, people are not worried about 1%. But the Lord Jesus says, he's worried about you, dear friend, whoever you are. He wants you to come and trust him and appreciate that he cares for you. It says he left the others, in the, you might say, in the pasture, and he went after that one until he found it. Until he found it. I think that's marvellous, you know. The Lord Jesus went all that distance to get that sheep that was lost. How far? Well, the Lord knows where you are and how far and how much you need. There's nobody beyond getting help. Nobody else. Anybody can be found wherever you are, whatever country you are, whatever your history you are. You know? Lord, you need the fact the Lord should find you. Come and trust the Saviour. Don't go away to the far country. Come and trust the Saviour. And precious to know that it says he puts the sheep on his shoulders and brought it back rejoicing. You ever think about the Lord Jesus rejoicing when somebody was saved? Hearts rejoice when they know that if you trust the Saviour, you will certainly be forgiven. Certainly know that as for the future that lies ahead, you'll be accepted because you belong to the Lord Jesus. Wonderful thing. To do that. You can trust people in this world, and that's the current world we're in. People are changing. Some people are leaving government, and some people getting pushed out of companies because of this, that, or the next thing. But the one fact is that the Lord Jesus, you know, you can be sure you can trust him. Trust him. Absolutely. Yeah. And how remarkable, of course, it is that the list of people in the Bible, really, people that were met the Lord Jesus. You can go through a whole list. We didn't have time to do that, but persons who came very early, you know, whether it's women at the well or many, many others, individual touches came and trusted the Lord Jesus for their Saviour. How much you need to have an individual trust. You can say that he died for you, you know, he died for you. It's a personal thing. But it says, of of course, preciously forgetting it. Having found it, lays it on his old shoulders, rejoicing, and being come to the house, calls together the friends and neighbours, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep. My lost sheep. Every sheep, the Lord is an appreciation of every single one, you know. And how he feels somebody who's lost, no appreciation in their hearts of the Lord Jesus. That's a really wonderful, gracious thing, that the Lord touches hearts here and there because of who he was, came down into this world as a babe in the manger, and came on and went on to the cross. I often think about these shepherds, you know. That's the other shepherds on that hill in the darkness. And the message came to them, a babe is born to you in Bethlehem's manger. Babe is born to you. In appreciation, a babe came for you. Trust we do, you know. And of course, as soon as they heard that message, they might have said, oh, well, we'll speak to somebody tomorrow or next week when we come off the hill. And after we've dealt with the sheep, we'll come down. But they did it right there and then. Immediately, let us go now and see this baby who's been born. And when they got down and saw that babe in the manger, just simply lying in the manger, nothing fancy, just simply a real child, they went and told everybody else of what happened. They'd come to trust that person. Accepted the divine message and met the Saviour as a babe. You know? Well, how precious to know that as you, no matter where you go, the Lord Jesus is there to meet you. And I wanted to read or share also that bit at the end of Luke's Gospel, is it? Luke's Gospel. I often think that's quite remarkable, you know, that, as I said earlier, my friend, the Lord Jesus, my Saviour, laid down his life for me. But he's not in the grave, of course. People said, oh, you know, he's in the grave. I've got a grave and put a stone on the top. And, you know, what's happened to the Saviour that we trusted? He's been killed. He's been executed, you know. But when they went there, found that he was risen. Somebody said he's risen, you know. But then, obviously, at the end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, people got a bit down. A bit down. And the Gospel tonight's for the encouragement of everybody here. For me and you. The fact that the Lord Jesus can draw alongside. This is Lord's Day today, and we can share good things about him. But we can share about him every day. Every day. You know? And we're going out. This is a reminder in the end of Luke's Gospel of this group of people who were going out to Emmaus, a little village outside Jerusalem, and kind of got down about everything that was happening. The Lord Jesus, they don't know where he is, you know. And they went to Emmaus, 7 miles out in the country. How would you like to walk that? 7 miles out, you know, talking about all the things that happened. And he came alongside and walked with them, you know. They didn't really recognise who he was. But when they got to the house in Emmaus, they opened the door and invited him in. And made way for the Lord Jesus. And how he shared what the work on the cross had been. And what the preciousness of remembrance of his. You know, in the bread and the cup and so on. And shared the precious appreciation of the greatness of his person. And their hearts were touched. And then he disappeared, you know. He left them. And they said, that person that joined us was wonderful. It was a wonderful touches we got from him, you know. And immediately it says, I'm not sure I would do that, but late on at night in the darkness, straight back to Jerusalem, we met the Saviour on the road. He's living. And of course he was living. Yes, and there was other occasions later on in the upper room and so on that they met. And then of course they went out and he was taken up. What a wonderful thing that the Saviour we're speaking about tonight is living at God's right hand. He's a living man up there, and it's been assurance for that. You know, we can say it's a wonderful thing. Very soon he's coming again. Are we ready? Are you ready for the Saviour coming again? Well, I'm sure we would be. I trust that everybody has an appreciation of the Saviour. It looks like as if he's coming very soon. Never away in the distance, maybe it could come tonight. You know, wonderful, precious thought that. And then there's a little touch we gave, of course, as well. And Peter's got Peter. Think of Peter. I didn't read it, but think of Peter seeing with the Lord before he was taken up, and went fishing. Peter went away back to his fishing trip, you know, and didn't get anything, of course, because he did it on his own without taking the Lord into it. But the Lord says, Peter, is that you? Have you got any fish? No, I've no fish. Well, put your net in at the right side of the fish, the ship, and you'll get. And of course, he got a lot. And they found that he had bread and so on, and the fish on the flyer, a meal ready to eat, something ready to eat, something to enjoy. How precious that is to know that the Lord provides just what we need at any time himself. And after that, they got a touch. And Peter, of course, says, the Lord says, what about you, Peter? What about this and this and this and this? And Peter says, what about John here? Never mind about John. I want to give you an encouragement. It's a wonderful thing to get an encouragement, a personal encouragement from Peter, from the Lord himself, for each one. It's different for each people. Each got history, different histories, different lives, but a touch for each encouragement. And then, as I read in this epistle, it says, particularly, the last portion of 1 Peter John, and when the chief shepherd is manifested, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Imagine writing a letter like that. That was very good of Peter. When he's manifested, when he comes out in all his greatness, you will get a reward. But look forward to that moment. It's easy, you know, to get distracted. At least I speak about easily getting distracted about things here and there. And how precious to keep looking up. Precious looking up. Well, I trust that everybody here has got an appreciation of the Lord Jesus in your heart. You young boys there as well, you might get something to touch them and remind them of the Good Shepherd who gave his life for them. But he's a living Saviour. And we can keep appreciation of that in the midst of a changing, darkening world. That the one that we've trusted and love is living. And very, very soon he's going to come again. And we'll be able to then go with him away from this scene altogether. Well, maybe come and trust him for his name's sake.